Gator Nation.
I'm gonna push forward, keep moving along. Strengthen my heart, got me singing this song. I see.
We're back. It's the Hater Nation on NTNRadio.com and BadTomato.fm. Day Walker on your ears right now at Day Walker on Twitter. Holler at that young man. We're gonna have him back in soon enough. It's MC along with Ali, Phil, Aaron Prescott with the Alamo Draft House in Ashburn, Virginia. On the phone lines, we have our dear friends, Paul Preston, Karen Volpe, a.k.a. the Movie Guys.
What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I had told Paul this over email. Congratulations are in order. You guys, if we include, and we always do, the old Basement Podcast show, you have been on the Hater Nation more than any other guests currently right now. You guys are top of the leaderboard.
I feel very privileged. That's awesome. Thank you, guys.
Keep up the good work. I think there's a couple of folks who are at like two.
Oh.
But you guys are at three.
Yeah.
You guys
we
are at
keep
three.
Making movies, so.
Yeah, we kind of always have something to complain or be excited about.
Oh, good. How's everything out there on the West Coast?
It's good. We saw Iron Man 3, so it has gotten better.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
And thank you for that segue. Wanted to talk to you guys about we wanted you on.
That's why they keep bringing us back.
Yeah, there were wildfires, too. But, you know, enough about that.
Screw that. But anyway.
Nah. Just Iron Man 3. In, I guess, the Mount Rushmore or in the, I guess, the pantheon of Marvel movies. First, give me your thoughts on Iron Man 3 compared to 1 and 2, and then compared to the entire Phase 1 Marvel Universe saga.
Paul, if I may, I'd like to start just because I like to say something inappropriate.
Shocker.
Who would stop you from doing that?
Right. First thing I'd like to say is it's a little tricky for me because I lost my, you know, I broke my cherry with Iron Man, the first one, because I was not a superhero person. And so now to me, it's always got a special place in my heart. So this one was good, but that one just was like, what the hell? This is awesome. And I love Iron Man now. And I thought I was like, oh, this is stupid. It's a boy movie. The guy's wearing like a costume. Love it. So this is good, but I loved one.
Yeah, you know, it's probably tough to get, you know, girls out to see a superhero movie until RDJ brought the goods as Tony Stark. You know, now ladies are like, oh, I want to go see a superhero movie. And, you know, for guys, it's like, okay, let's go.
Well, I joked about that not too long ago. My wife wanted to see G.I. Joe. And I was wondering, I was like, why? And there's a picture on, like, just been passing around of The Rock, Channing Tatum, and some other random guy shirtless. And she's like, I want to see Iron Man. I want to see G.I. Joe. I'm like, all right.
She's got good taste.
Yeah, she likes men with six packs. She doesn't see those too often.
Unless you bring them home.
Whoa. Like Scorpion King. She's
like
bad
him.
Guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She loves Scorpion King. Anything The Rock is in. We'll watch what that movie he was with. He was a
it's
quarterback.
It's a win-win.
Is
Tooth
it?
Fairy?
No, not Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy!
Oh, God.
Now that I have Karen here, because Karen is infamous for screaming about men that she's hot for in movies,
yes.
We're going to play a little match game here. Okay?
Oh,
so,
okay.
Boom, now, we you have the... Exactly. Oh, Paul, do this while we're thinking. Do the music. Karen, out of all the Marvel Universe Phase 1 guys, that's Incredible Hulk, Mark Ruffalo, Captain America, Chris Evans... Robert Downey Jr., whoever the hell Hawkeye was. All those guys. Jeremy Renner. Hottest guy. Give us a second. We're going to write them down. So write them down. Who do you think she is hot for out of all the Avengers? And you know what? We'll get hot too, and we'll add Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, you know what? That makes it harder.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Because she is fantastic. I didn't know if I'd like a female superhero in the mix because, you know, then you're jealous, but you're like, no, she's badass. So she's my second favorite, but I got to go Robert Downey because he's so funny.
Robert Downey. Okay, Ali, who did you pick?
I was going to go with Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Yes, Chris Evans.
Not so funny.
Phil, who were you thinking off the top of your head?
I thought she was going to go with Samuel L. Jackson's character.
You know what? That's good, too. He is hot as hell, isn't he?
I actually took it seriously. I took it seriously. I thought she was going to go for Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, he's sweet. I do like where they're going with the Hulk character. They're making him very sweet, likable.
Yeah, because he looks kind of like...
I like this Hulk better than the other guy.
Yeah, he's anti-attractive, kind of like Lyle Lovett, who is like her number one.
Oh, you love that. You're good.
The whole Lyle Lovett background for Karen.
Yeah, you guys are good. You have great memories. Boy, if Lyle Lovett were a superhero, it would be harder.
If Lyle Lovett was a superhero, we're all screwed. Now let's
something,
go.
Something he has to wear a mask joke. That's all.
Shut
I'm gonna
up.
Say.
You're so sorry.
Now, what were your thoughts of on Iron Man 3? I know Karen was all hot and bothered about it, talking about cherries popped and everything. But you know,
certainly.
what were your thoughts on Iron Man 3?
Oh, me? Well, you go one. The first one's still the best. I think they try and cram a lot of stuff in Iron Man 3, which is ambitious and admirable, and they pull a lot of it off. But sometimes it felt a little hurried to get through some of the things, you know, without giving away too much. Then, you know, in the middle, he's without his armor, and he has to infiltrate a palace, you know, and he kind of comes up with the way to do it. And it's always interesting to see the hero without his superpowers or without his gadgets or whatever still try and triumph, and that was fun. But it seemed like they kind of rushed that to get to the part that would be cool once they get into the palace, you know. So they were doing a lot. But that being said, most of it was really great. I mean, Downey's just so natural in that part now. The writing for what he's going to say and how he's going to behave seems natural, especially with Shane Black, who's worked with him before on Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Great movie. They
fill it in with great supporting actors, you know, Ben Kingsley and Don Cheadle. I mean, it's a great way to kick off summer. I really enjoyed it.
Now, at any point, because, I mean, I'm assuming this is a plot hole, at any point, was there any talk during the movie of someone saying, hey, Tony, how about you call the Avengers to help you out with this situation?
You know, it's interesting. They never really brought up, hey, why don't you give them a buzz or text them or something. But people do kind of go, hey, how did you feel about that whole New York thing? And it's kind of cool because he's kind of freaked out by it.
Well, that's
I mean, you go into a wormhole, there should be some repercussions if you're a regular guy, if you're not Thor, you know, and they dealt with that, and they should, and that's good. Now, some people said they didn't go far enough with some of that, like he should have maybe been a little more broken of a guy, but what fun is Tony Stark if he's broken? He's a millionaire philanthropist, playboy, you know, hotshot.
It didn't help that at the end of Avengers, they all still went out for shawarma later, so, like, it seemed like he was fine. You know, so
they're able to bounce back a little better than we are, I think.
Now, speaking of Thor, there's a sequel to Thor, Thor 2, I believe Dark World, coming out this summer as well. Any thoughts looking at the trailers for that? Thor 2, and also I want to bring up another Marvel, which isn't part of the Disney family, but it's still Marvel, The Wolverine with Hugh Jackman.
Well, Thor is going to come out, I think, in November.
Oh,
they're
my
just
fault.
They're kicking out early trailers for that because they know you're all going to Iron Man. So it's like, oh, yeah, we'll get excited for this, too.
They got me.
Great show prep.
Hey, man, that trailer looks great.
Loki looks badass. Now, I really am looking forward to him coming back.
I think you're looking forward to because all the guys have long hair. Like, is
well,
it,
okay, that's a
it's
weird
like
thing
watching
for
a
me.
Queensryche it's video.
It's a little too Ren Faire for me. I'm not a big Ren Faire person, and this is just a little too close to that, you know, the old maiden kind of thing.
I think that's why he doesn't wear metal, or why he doesn't wear leather. He wears, like, metal. If he wore leather, it'd be just like, oh, he's the blacksmith, you know. How do you go then, sir? You know, he'd be like a Ren Faire guy.
He looks like a jouster.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
I mean, only the most strongest, most powerful jouster in all the universe.
Fine,
is all
whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Big
but
sense.
This Dark World movie is directed by a guy named Alan Taylor, who started out with Mad Men. I think he worked on Game of Thrones. So he's going to hit the right tone, I think, with this. It's going to be darker in the first one, but, you know, not grim. I think it'll just be, I think it looks like he's going to hit just the right tone. And I hope so, at least. Because the first one was good, but Kenneth Branagh kind of kept it a little surfacey. We dig underneath a little bit. I think we can have a lot more rich of a story. And it just looks like, technically, it's all over. It's all good, technically.
Did you really just explain how you're going to go under the surface of Thor to make it more real and deeper?
Yes, I
That's
did.
That's ridiculous.
Because people like you are saying what you're saying right now.
Oh.
If they went deeper, you'd get excited. Don't tell me.
We're talking comic books now. Back up, Karen. We're talking comic books now.
I'm sorry.
Hater Nation, we're divorcing.
And also, Hugh Jackman deciding he wanted to be heterosexual and jumped back into the Wolverine after many a song and dance movie. So
when I saw your notes, because I saw, you know, what you were thinking about talking about, I went online and I had to double check this. But just don't get too excited because he'll be jumping back into his dance tights for a couple of weeks in 2014 to appear in the stage version of Les Miserables. They're going to bring it back and he's in talks to come back and do it live.
I'll tell you one thing, man. That Joker does love to sing and dance.
He does.
That's a singing and dancing manly dude. Him and Channing Tatum.
Sometimes in your career, remember Eyes Wide Shut, Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman. He spends a whole movie basically being around sexual deviance, but not having sex. And so immediately he appeared in Magnolia, where he's like, he's all crazy sex talk. Sometimes you got to do that. You know, you get all pent up with your Les Mis.
Les Mis will make you pent up.
You got to turn around and kill a bunch of guys with your adamantium claws.
Yeah, every now and then you got to go back to the adamantium
claws. Got to even the scales.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Now let's get away from the comic books and let's talk about Great Gatsby, which, unfortunately, I always get confused with Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, you probably should.
I get them mixed up, and they're actually polar opposites. So yeah. I don't know what I was doing during English lit class in high school, but something's wrong because I always get them mixed up. Leo DiCaprio, Jay-Z doing the soundtrack in order to bring the minorities into the movie because no one else would watch it. I wouldn't watch The Great Gatsby unless Jay-Z was on the soundtrack. But hey, Jay's on there.
Really? Kerry Mulligan isn't drawing the brothers in? Tobey Maguire isn't
Tobey Maguire was bringing the brothers in when he was wearing Spider-Man outfit. That was the last time.
I was going to say, when he's wearing shooting webs and stuff.
Shooting webs, that's what the brothers was all about.
It. Yeah, you got to bring Jay-Z in to do the music.
And by the way, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, Baz Luhrmann, who directed the film, he directed Moulin Rouge. He hasn't met a story that he couldn't make splashy. He basically said that hip-hop is the equivalent of jazz. Like, hip-hop is today what jazz was to the 20s, so in order to reach today's viewers, he wanted to bring hip-hop in as the music for The Great Gatsby. And, you know, there are similarities in most of the musicians.
Yeah, the artists are black.
Dead.
Black and they're dead. And
except
the musicians back in the jazz era died of drugs. You know, Chet Baker didn't shoot Charlie Parker, for example. But still, they end up dead one way or the other.
Yeah, don't we all?
Oh, that's right.
Well, eventually.
Yeah, we're talking with the Movie Guys, themovieguys.net. We also have Aaron Prescott here, who works for the Alamo Draft House in Ashburn, Virginia. It's a fantastic place. Next, if you ever, guys, get over here to the East Coast, number one, you're hanging out with us. Number two, we're all going to the Alamo Draft House.
Cool.
You have something special going on with The Great Gatsby, don't you?
We do. We have an early show tomorrow night at 10:20, so we're really excited to have that coming up. And, you know, as going on to big movies, I'm not sure if you guys are going to be talking about this one, but Star Trek is coming up next week, and we have our double feature. We're going to be doing the 2009 version on Wednesday on into the midnight showing of Into Darkness. So we're really excited about that.
And exactly. You know what? I love you already because you honestly worked into the segue. Do you want to be the third mic on the Hater Nation?
I'll be here.
BA's out drunk somewhere, so we'd love to have you back in. But we're talking about Star Trek. Yeah, definitely. And this is the thing that really got me. Benedict Cumberbatch. Honestly, when I emailed you, Paul, I still was not sure whether that was his name or whether that was the character's name. I can't believe anyone's name is really that bad.
That dude is awesome.
Like
do you watch Sherlock at all?
No, I do not.
You have to watch Sherlock because he is the Sherlock Holmes. Forget Robert Downey Jr. You keep him with Iron Man. Benedict Cumberbatch in the BBC Sherlock, he's the man right
I can't
there.
Say his name without giggling. But he is
adds to the nerdgasm that is this movie. You know, Star Trek, J.J. Abrams, Simon Pegg, Benedict Cumberbatch, you know. But of course, the brilliant thing J.J. Abrams did was the nerds are going to come, but now everyone else is too. He's managed to make that in one movie a wide appeal franchise. So.
Yeah, but being a nerd is very cool now as well.
Exactly. Yeah, also true.
Have you seen NBA post-game press conferences?
With the glasses?
Yeah, everyone's wearing black rim glasses with no lenses.
And nobody needs them. Absolutely.
Oh, I saw one kid.
Who's the dude on the Houston Rockets who used to wear the giant bow ties?
I don't know. Who did? All of them do. All of them
the
do now.
The plaid pimp jacket and the big bow tie. Man, that dude.
That could be anybody.
Please make the playoffs just so I could see him, you know, in a post-game conference.
Yeah, the post-game press conferences are just a joke. Actually, I saw a guy who was trying to go for the look at the NFL draft, and he was wearing the black rim glasses, but he still had the 3D insignia on the side of him. So what he did was he used 3D glasses, took out the lenses, and was walking around draft day with those glasses. And I was like, you couldn't even put a Sharpie to that name? Come on, dog.
Right. Cover that up. Don't draft that, dude. He does not have that together.
Yeah, he's wearing 3D glasses.
Wizards, that guy.
But Star Trek, I've heard good and bad about Star Trek Into the Darkness. Of course, Cumberbatch is playing Khan. I've actually looked up. He's actually playing Khan. So there's a character, Carol Marcus. So it's playing to the nerd quotient of nowadays because J.J. just hit a home run with Star Trek. But it's also harkened back to those old school Trekkers who remembers Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and it's kind of playing, okay, how was Khan looking in this new kind of reworked Star Trek universe with Kirk and Spock and Carol Marcus? So it seems like it's a parallel universe, once again, because of the whole, you know, the storyline regarding Star Trek I, that Star Trek II is still working off this parallel universe in which this is kind of the episode Space Seed. For you nerds out there, please follow the Hater Nation, because I just mentioned Space Seed. Please.
Wow, dude, we're going to have you on our show when we talk about this movie, just so you can make sense of all this stuff.
I will try my best to.
With your deep references.
I know.
Space Seed.
There, little nerd.
But along with Star Trek, another movie that I guess has been remade so many times, it's next on our list, is Man of Steel. The latest Superman movie, Superman Take 47.
Yeah, appears. Another reboot.
Yeah, another reboot.
Right, and another origin movie, right?
Yes, they always have to do an origin movie with Superman.
God.
Well, they have
Why?
To start over. I'm surprised they didn't use, they're not using Lex Luthor in this one. Am I correct with that? I'm not sure.
Is that legal? Are they allowed to do that?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think Lex Luthor is in it, no. But you're going to get, you know, Ma and Pa Kent, and he leaves Krypton, he comes to the Earth, and does the whole deal, you know. And I got worried with that last year with The Amazing Spider-Man. It's like, do we need to see that whole thing where he's a nerd in high school, he gets bit by a spider, he learns to crawl up the wall, you know? But they made enough changes to that and gave us a new villain that movie wasn't half bad. So
yeah,
with the talent behind this one, you change that up just a little bit, and I think you're gonna be in for a good movie.
Yeah,
So hopefully it's not the same crap with good filmmakers. Hopefully it's new crap with good filmmakers.
Yeah, I think this is going to be pretty good. They might actually get this one right.
They have to. I mean, they've had so many opportunities.
The problem with Superman is he's infallible. He is literally, with the exception of Kryptonite, he's indestructible. So it's kind of hard to show weakness in the man unless you throw green rocks at him. So, I mean, like, Batman has issues. You know, like, you can shoot Batman. He could be wounded for a little while. But Superman,
right,
unless you're throwing Kryptonite at him, it's not going to work. It just doesn't work.
I want Hater Nation to show up and start throwing green rocks at him. That I'll go see.
You can't have no brothers acting
I'm
like
all
in a movie theater. They'll tase us real quick. We do some crazy stuff like that. Next is, this is just I'm really into this one because of the star magnitude on it. This is The End. The Seth Rogen, Craig Robinson piece where it looks like they're all hanging out and they're actually playing exaggerated versions of themselves, and it looks like the world's coming to an end. So it's how they kind of react to all this.
Yeah, I will begin the Seth Rogen man crush right now.
Good man.
I think the dude is hilarious. And this summer, The Hangover Part 3, The Internship, if you've seen these trailers,
they're like desperate.
They're not that funny.
No.
Like, maybe
no.
They're so rated R that the funniest parts can't be in a trailer, but I'm watching trailers going, all right, they've killed a giraffe and they have trouble doing, like, climbing off the side of a building, but there really aren't a whole lot of jokes or funny stuff. But this is The End. That trailer, beginning to end, I was laughing my fool head off. That movie looks hilarious. That's going to be the best film of the year.
Nice.
Hey, and they have Emma Watson in it, too. So.
Oh, yeah, they have.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a host, a veritable host, I say, of celebrities showing up to, like, face the end of the world with these, you know, stoner schmoes.
I think I was in the bathroom peeing when this trailer happened, because I don't remember it. Is Lyle Lovett going to show up in the world with him?
Lord knows he should. There's enough people in this damn movie.
That's right.
They made room for Aziz Ansari. You can't get Lyle Lovett in there?
Get Lyle Lovett in there.
It almost seems like this generation's equivalent of Cannonball Run, where, like, Cannonball Run had every star
everybody
in it. So, like,
that's
we're going to have every star in this one. So anything that has top stars and a large ensemble cast, I'm all about. Plus, it has the funniest guys on the planet on it right now. You know, like, I don't understand why they made Grown Ups 2. They should just make This is the End 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and keep the same great people. Grown Ups 2 is
This is the
absolute
end. No,
mess.
No, this is the end.
No,
yeah.
Second thought, This is the End.
That's nice. Yeah. I do like it. We're going to skip over White House Down / Olympus Has Fallen 2.
I was going to make a Monica Lewinsky joke. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we'll skip over that because we're running out of time. And the one movie that Paul and I have been talking about for a couple of months now, Pacific Rim.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Giant monsters, giant robots. Need
okay,
I say
you ready to have your mind blown for a second?
Blow my mind!
I saw it.
And?
Son of a bitch.
I know. It was they out here, they had, I mean, and they said, don't tell anybody, but, you know, I'm going to do this for the Hater Nation. I tell you, I went to an advanced screening. They said it wasn't done. You know, so please, you know, it's not done. We're just showing it to some people to gauge some reaction, whatever. But you put it out the way I saw it, you're in for a great time.
Ah! So,
that's cool.
What's the odds that you might have cammed this?
What's that?
What's the odds that you might have cammed it?
Yeah, we couldn't just remove it, sadly.
It's not 1985 anymore.
If you'd like.
It is everything you want it to be. The guy, Guillermo del Toro, thinking huge. Just, I can't wait to see it again, you know, because there's just so much. I mean, he gets to start from scratch with all these creations. You know, it's not monsters we've heard of and robots we've heard of before. He creates the monsters from scratch that come out of the surface of the ocean, or you know, down on the floor of the ocean. And
this sounds a lot like Godzilla.
Yes. Yes, I have no problem with that. I welcome such a situation. No, like, and talking with Aaron Prescott. And talking with Aaron Prescott from the Alamo, this is what you need to do. You start Saturday morning with a couple of Godzilla movies, you throw in an Ultraman movie, and then boom, you end with Pacific Rim as the main event. That's what you do.
I'm not even going to lie to you. That's our programming for July. Giant robots, they're coming to the Alamo.
I really can't be this smart. I can't be three beers in.
You're doing good tonight.
Yeah, you know?
They said stuff like, you guys, please don't blog about it, please, no. But I haven't told anybody, but I'll tell you guys. I mean, it was great. And they'll want me to say that, I'm sure. So, you know, if you're looking for intense character development, they have enough relationships amongst each other to make it interesting. They didn't, like, just totally throw that out. There's, you know, consequences of the people, because of their actions, they get selfish, they do this and that. But just in the end, man, these action set pieces are so huge and so well thought out and gigantic. You just sit there and you're overwhelmed and you just crap yourself. It's so great.
Great. We have that to look forward to.
I want that on a poster. It's so great you crap yourself.
You will crap yourself.
Before we let you guys go, is there anything we missed on for this summer?
Let me think.
Fast and Furious 6.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Fast 5 was the best one. Am I wrong?
No,
I'll
give it to you.
I'll take another one if it's as good as Fast 5.
They bring everybody back. Damn, even Ludacris is in this movie.
Yeah, The Rock, apparently it makes your franchise better.
Well, that's true, because then you can look at him.
Yeah, I don't have to look at him, but someone else in my family will look at him.
But wives can look at him. We can appreciate The Rock.
Yeah, guys like fast cars, girls love The Rock.
If you have an iPhone, you can download an app that will translate what Vin Diesel is saying during the movie, so you can enjoy it that much more. So that's exciting. He growls, is what I'm saying.
A lot.
Yeah.
We'll let you guys go, of course. TheMovieGuys.net, at TheMovieGuys on Twitter, and TheMovieGuys on Facebook. All the best. Once again, you are the current record holders for the Hater Nation. Most appearances on the show. All the best. Definitely, you want us on your show. We love you on our show. Let's keep in touch, as always. We love you guys. Be safe.
Awesome. Thank you for letting me call and talk to you about all the hot men in movies.
Me too.
Well, you know. All the best, guys. You guys take care.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Take it easy.
See ya. Paul and Karen, the movie guys from themovieguys.net.
We should send them a plaque.
Yeah, we should. But you know what? If, like, Sweet Lou calls in, then he's
then
tied.
<it's> tied.
So we got to get them a couple ahead.
Right.
So maybe they'll just call in randomly and we'll get them on. When we get back, more news of what we know. The Hater Nation on NTNRadio.com and badtomato.fm. We'll be right back.